It's very interesting. Every year, people start with new resolutions. You know, they want to do this. They have set their goals up and all these things. But they forget one thing, right? Which is very simple. Job 36, verse 11 says this. Job 36, verse 11. You can do all things of planning. You can do everything. But it all boils down to one thing for success. This is what it is. Job 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. That's it. That's the bottom line. Job 36, 11. If they obey and serve God, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. So bottom line is hearing him, obeying him, serving him with full heart, with full might, that'll bring pleasure and prosperity all through the year. Amen. The goals are good, resolutions are okay, everything is fine, but we cannot forget this. This is what is going to bring all of our resolution to come to pass, to reach all of our goals that we are going to set in this new year. Amen. 2018. So the Bible is backing us up. We might get into some hitch or whatever problem. The Bible tells in Isaiah 41 verse 10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, because discouragement will come. As you sail into the new year of uncharted waters, there will be discouragement, there will be darkness sometimes. For I am your God, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. That means when he's holding, it's only victory. Not in the ways and thinking of man, but in the real realm of victories of God. You know, sometimes we wanted to be famous in the world, but it's not the Lord's plan for our life. He wanted us to be famous in heaven. That means we might not be so accepted in the world, right? For example, martyrdom for Jesus is a submission. It's not a victorious thing. But that's what, you know, the world understanding is, if you submit, if you surrender, it's a defeat. It's not good. But it's opposite in the Christian world, right? So God is telling, I'll be with you and I'll be holding you with my victorious right hand. Amen. So number one, so whatever happens, one thing we need to be very, very clear, the human soul, the human heart always want to drift away from God. I don't care if you are believers for 90 years, it doesn't matter. The soul always want to drift away from God. The soul of human beings always want to drift away from God. So number one, no matter what happens, always be remembering the anchor and our refuge, Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing, no matter what happens. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Because the Bible wants us so. He wants the believers of drifting away. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. Do you know multitudes of leaders are falling away? It's happening big time. Drifting away. These people are great people. So bad. So the Bible is warning us, no matter what happens, always remember and root your anchor, your refuge in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, that is Holy of Holies. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in order of Melchizedek. Jesus, our high priest, has already gone before us. He has led the way. And if you have caught his hand, no matter what happens, as we anchor and take refuge in Jesus Christ, he's going to take us through. Amen? So this one, we need to be reminded every day, every hour. Otherwise, the Bible is very clear. Don't think that you're standing, even the elect may fall. Who are the elect? We are the elect. I'm talking about people who have been leading movements in this world. Amen? I don't want to name the people. It's happening. So Jesus is the best. Never take your eyes off of him all through this year, no matter what happens. Jesus is the best. Never take your eyes off of him. That's a starting point. Number two, decisions. So we will be making a lot of decisions day in and day out. Some of them are major decisions, but some of them are moving from place to place now. So many movements already happening. Many of our friends are moving from different places to different locations, decisions after decisions. And the world is going to get more chaotic, and so many things are happening which is not going to be pleasant. Amen? So we are entering towards the dark ages for the world. So we have to make a lot of decisions. So what we do to do? Number one, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek him's will and all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Sometimes our understanding is the greatest stumbling block for our advancement. Amen? So we cannot rely on our understanding. Some of the times that God speaks, it doesn't make any sense to us. But it doesn't make it is not having sense at all. We will not know. Our chicken mind will not understand what God is trying to do with our lives. Right? So lean not on your understanding. Do not depend on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, three points I want to give you how to make right decisions in this new year. Number one, especially when God speaks to you about something or you are planning to make a great decision, number one, pray and ask the Lord's blessing over it. Amen? Pray and ask the Lord's blessing over it. As soon as you pray, what happens? You will see the joy in your heart. If that decision is from the Lord, if that is what God is wanting you to do, instantly you will see a joy in your heart. Amen? If you're about to make a right decision, you will see a joy in your heart. Amen? That's the first indicator that you are following the right direction. You are about to make a right decision. Why? Because joy of the Lord is your strength. What does it mean? When you do according to his will, his joy comes to you to accomplish his will. Amen? Number two, as you're making and praying over the decision, it will create a spiritual enthusiasm to thrust you to do it. Amen? There will be a holy thrust coming through by the Spirit of the Lord, an enthusiasm that will push you to do it. Amen? Number three, it'll always demand the very best in you. If it is not demanding the very best in you, if you can do it by yourself, without God, or it is not demanding the very best of you, that means that decision might not be from God. Okay? So joy, spiritual enthusiasm, it'll demand things from you, the best from you. And finally, test it by James chapter 3, verse 17. Test it. If the decision is from the Lord, this will come within this framework. James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. The decision you are going to make must be pure. If that is the wisdom from God, it will be pure. It is also peace-loving. It will always create peace. It will not bring strife. Gentle at all the times. In other words, the decision will not push your way through. It'll be gentle because it is led by the Holy Spirit. The devil pushes you, the Holy Spirit leads us, right? And willing to yield to others. Every time you make a major decision, it's always asking you to yield to others. Amen? So that is a right way to look into it if it is from the Lord. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. So the decision you will make will produce fruit in your life. Amen? It shows no favoritism. There will not be any favoritism. And is always sincere. It will take sincere efforts of you to accomplish that stuff. If it doesn't take any of your effort, that means it's not a right decision. Amen? So this is what will be helpful to make decisions. Number one, you'll pray over it. You will receive the joy in the heart. It creates a spiritual enthusiasm and the thrust to do it. It will demand the very best in you. And tested by James 3:17, because wisdom from above is pure, is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy, fruit of good deeds, and no favoritism, and it'll be sincere. And again, we can do so many plans and everything Finally, you must tell, Lord, I can do all plans, but may your purpose prevail. Amen. Proverbs 19:21, it says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. There are many plans in the heart of man, mind of man, but God's purpose will prevail. So that's what our prayer should be. Because we are created to fulfill His purpose, not our own stuff. Amen. Those days are gone. We are a new creation. It is no longer that we live, that we live for Christ and Christ lives in us. Amen. Number three, no matter what happens, do not give up. Do not give up. We might be praying for so many things all through the years. Do not give up if it is not happening. Be patient. The Bible tells, in patience you possess your soul. Amen. So we cannot give up on certain things. You may be praying for healing or for your husband or your spouse or whatever you are praying for years. Do not give up. Psalm 27:14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. As you pass through these dark times of unanswered prayers, be courageous, be brave. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Amen. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Trust in the Lord. Even if you don't get answers, trust in the Lord until God comes through. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Hallelujah. When we cry out unto the Lord, He will deliver us. The Bible tells, call on to the Lord, the Lord will save us. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Amen. Search for you. Psalm 138:2, your promises are backed by all honor of your name. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. As you're waiting, do not give up, but cling on to the promises, because Bible tells His promises are backed by the honor of His name. Wow. Amen. Think about this. If He's not fulfilling the promises, that means our God becomes a liar. That's what it means. So we know our God is unchanging. He never lies. Amen. So let's not give up for those things that we have been praying for years. It may be simple debt cancellation or whatever we are praying for years and doing the right things. Let's not give up. Number four. Contend for the prophecies and dreams and visions that has come for you over the years. If it is not fulfilled yet. Contend for the prophecies, dreams and visions. Do not give up. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. Paul talks to this spiritual son. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. The prophecies are uttered by the Holy Spirit. There's a contention that needs to happen because that battle belongs to the Lord. It is in His hand to bring to pass the prophecies which He spoke to the Spirit through the men. Amen. The dreams and visions that He gave the people. It is His responsibility. That's what the Bible tells. Those battles are Lord's. It's not your battle. Amen. NKJV, it says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Wage the good warfare. Amen. So we got to contend. The whole thing that's happening in Israel is because of the contention of the prophecies by Daniel. Amen. Jeremiah 29:10 says, at the end of the 70th year, I will bring back the captivity. Right? And Daniel was praying for that. And it came to pass during the time of Cyrus and Ezra and Nehemiah. It's exactly repeating now in our times. This is the 70th year for Israel after the year the United Nations voted for the establishment of Israel as a nation. This is the 70th year. Next year is the independence, for 70 years of independence. But this is the 70th year when United Nations voted for creation of Jerusalem, Israel as a state. So 70 years is ending. What's happening? During the time of Jerusalem Jubilee, the whole world is now talking about Jerusalem because Trump declared it. And do you know, you don't have any clue of the implication. I'm going to talk on it probably on third Friday. The prophetic insight in 2018. It's in unbelievable implications happening. Because we remember when we were there, we were fearing that Mount of Olives will go to the Muslims. But now because of this declaration by Trump and moving the embassy, many countries are joining him. Do you know they passed the Jerusalem law? What does it mean? They passed in the Knesset Jerusalem law. What does it mean? Even when Jerusalem is divided, Mount of Olives and all is Jerusalem will belong to the Jews. Hallelujah. Amen. Zechariah is happening right in front of our eyes. I'm going to talk on that on third Friday. It's incredible things are happening, folks. So 70 years, amen, because of the contention for the prophetic words. It started in during Daniel's time. It's continuing, and we are seeing the fulfillment now, the 70th year of the United Nations, which declared, amen, 50th year for Jerusalem Jubilee. So God works in His timetable, His calendar. But the reason we have to go through this process is receive the spiritual from the spiritual realm in this calendar, and we release into the physical realm in the physical calendar. Amen. It's very important. Hallelujah. Number five, oppositions are your opportunities. Oppositions are your opportunities. It's very important. As you grow from year to year, as you grow from level to level, there are new levels and new devil. Amen. So you will see opposition. If the Lord speaks to you, if the Lord is raising you up, definitely expect opposition. Amen? Oppositions are your opportunities. 1 Corinthians 16, 7 to 9. Paul said, there is such amazing open door for me, but there are so many people, those oppose me. Many who oppose us and stand against me. 1 Corinthians 16, 9 is writing to the church of Corinthians. He's in Ephesus right now. This time I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I'll be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. There's a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding. Hallelujah.
So you said 1 Corinthians
16, 19. I'm reading from the NLT version. There's a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding, although many oppose me. Greater is the door, greater is the opposition. So oppositions are your opportunities. Amen. The Passion Translation, it says, there is an amazing door of opportunity standing wide open for me to minister here in Ephesus, even though there are many who oppose and stand against me. Amen. So Paul stood the opposition, and he stood with the Lord. Do you know what the result of it? It says unbelievable result.
Yeah, 7 to 9.
So what happened in Ephesus? Incredible things happened. I'm going to read it up open with just the 9th verse. There is a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding, although many oppose me. In Passion Translation, it says, there's an amazing door of opportunity standing wide open for me to minister here, even though there are many oppose and stand against me. Opposition is your opportunity. What happened in Ephesus? You need to know Acts 19 talks about it. Paul and his companions went to Ephesus, a city of 500,000 people at the time. Paul started house church and taught there for 2 years. The entire city of Ephesus was evangelized. What a great work. Great was the opportunity, but great was the opposition. So if you face any opposition, for God opened the door, that means that is your opportunity.
Amen.
You know, I liked a great story by T.D. Jakes. You know, he's one of the leading pastors in America. He had only 7 people in his congregation in Virginia when he started that. He's a Virginia boy. So 7 people in the congregation. And his ministry began to explode like crazy. And one of the first time they were doing the mega fest in the Georgia dome, you know. Thousands of people are coming from all across the globe. It's jam-packed, so many people. And that day morning, 212 press people were gathering for the first time ever event. 212 press persons from across the globe gathering to ask questions to T.D. Jakes. In the middle of the night, he woke up and thought, what have I done, Lord? How am I going? These people will chew me up. I don't want to go into this liberal media. They will chew me up. They are coming from UK, every place, to hear what he's going to talk about, the questions, to chew him up. He knows it's going to be a disaster. So he said, called his press secretary at 2 a.m. in the morning, and he said, hey, I cannot handle this. I don't have time to go through this. I have a major meeting that night. So you need to cancel the press conference. And the press secretary, she said to him, Bishop, thousands of people are coming to hear to what you say, what you're going to say. Do you have anything to say? It's a good question, right? Thousands of people are coming from all across the globe to hear you. Do you have anything to say? He said, of course. Then say it to the press. So the opposition, he thought, will be so bad in his life that became a great opportunity, T.D. Jakes, known to the whole world, to that one press conference. Amen? Because that's the time the ministry began to explode. So 212 press people who are coming against T.D. Jakes came from all across the globe. But what happened? God turned this opposition into a great opportunity to proclaim His glory. Amen? From a 7-member church to a thousands of member church, so opposition comes. It's a new level, new devil. So any opposition come to you, please get ready. This is a time of your opportunity for the next level. Amen? Finally, what are we going to do to help us to sail through this 2018? Joy, thanksgiving, praise, and keeping our eyes steadfast on Jesus will help us sail through the uncharted waters of 2018 as we pass through winds of wilderness. You know, always there will be wilderness through the year. It's not going to be a valley, it's a mountaintop experience all the time. In the wilderness, you know, when you sail through, what will happen? Winds will be coming, there will be tides, and also the current that will try to drift you away from the goals, drift you away from the call of God, drift you away from everything. On those times of winds of wilderness, tide of circumstances, and current of old nature might come out. You know, when God is progressing us to the next level, the old nature will try to pull us down because you're so comfortable in this stage. Every stage has its own problems, desperation in liberation. You know, that's what happened to the Israelites. When they were in slavery, they were just doing their own schedule, no problem. But once they were liberated, they don't know what to do. They begin to complain, right? So there's a desperation and liberation. So may the Lord help us with joy and thanksgiving and praise and worshiping and putting our eyes on Jesus, our anchor and refuge. We can sail through the waters of 2018, uncharted waters, against wilderness, against all the circumstances and old nature, and we'll be victorious because this is the year of breakthroughs. God spoke to me, this is the year of breakthroughs. It is the year of multifold victory. It's not just victory in one area. It's going to be a multifold victory. Amen? It's a year of turnaround. It's going to be the year of turnaround for many of us who have been believing for some things. Year of turnaround. And this is going to be the year of greater glory. Greater glory. It's going to be manifesting greater glory in our lives. It's going to be an incredible season because God is coming back to a powerful church. He is not coming back to a powerless church. Amen. It is also the year of taking down the giants. Amen. This is the time. You know, even though there were 10 days that David, Goliath was shouting, the giant was shouting, but one particular day, the set moment, God gave the time to take down the Goliath. And I believe this is the year to take down the Goliaths in our life, some of the Goliaths in the national level. This is the year, this is the season that's beginning to take down Goliath. We are seeing it happening. Amen? So get ready for an amazing sail into 2018. With God's help, with joy and thanksgiving and praise, we will sail it through victoriously. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bless you guys. May it help you.